亚里士多德《诗学模仿：进化与悲剧的审美效应》。
Aristotle's Loss of Learning, Imitation and Evolution, and the Aesthetic Effect of Tragedy.
你们可能不会相信我。
You might not believe me.
亚里士多德，一个把逻辑推理。
Aristotle, a master of logical reasoning.
当作生命的人。
As a person.
竟然花了大量时间去研究那些让人哭泣。
It took a lot of time to study those that made people cry.
颤抖。
Tremble.
心痛的东西。
Things that make you cry.
是的。
Yes.
我说的是悲剧。
I'm talking about tragedy.
在雅典学院的柱廊下。
Under the columns of the Academy of Athens.
我常常被问到一个问题。
I am often asked a question.
一个理性至上的哲学家。
A philosopher who places reason above all else.
为什么会对舞台上那些悲惨的命运？
Why are you so interested in the tragic fates on the stage?
如此着迷。
So fascinated.
这个问题听起来很有道理。
This sounds like a good idea.
但他本身就把事情想反了。
But he himself thought the opposite.
让我先问你们一个更根本的问题。
Let me ask you a more fundamental question first.
当你看到一个画家在画布上描绘一条蛇。
When you see a painter depicting a snake on a canvas.
你知道那条蛇是假的。
You know that snake is fake.
可你还是会感到一丝恐惧。
But you still feel a little fear.
这是为什么？我再问第二个问题。
That's why I'm asking the second question.
当你听完一个关于英雄被命运摧毁的故事。
When you finish listening to a story about a hero being destroyed by fate.
你流下了眼泪。
You left tears.
可你走出剧场时。
But when you leave the theater.
却感觉自己的灵魂被洗涤过了。
However, I felt my soul had been cleansed.
这又是为什么？
Why is this?
第三个问题更加棘手。
The third question is more difficult.
如果痛苦本身是令人厌恶的。
If pain itself is disgusting.
那么为什么人类会主动去寻求那种因艺术而产生的痛苦感受？这些问题的答案就藏在人类心灵最深处的一个本能里。
So why do humans actively seek out the pain of art? The answers to these questions are hidden in the deepest recesses of the human mind, a primal instinct.
这个本能叫做模仿。
This is called imitation.
我所说的模仿，不是你们今天理解的那种简单的复制。
What I'm saying is that imitation is not the simple copying you understand today.
我说的模仿是人类的本质特征。
What I said is that imitation is a characteristic of humans.
你看小鸟生来就会唱歌。
You see, birds are born with the ability to sing.
那是他们的本能。
That's their instinct.
人类生来就会模仿。
Humans are born to imitate.
这也是我们的本能。
This is also our instinct.
而且这种本能不只是属于演员和画家。
Moreover, this instinct is not only for imagination and storms.
它属于每一个人。
He belongs to everyone.
当小孩子学着大人的样子说话做事。
When children learn to speak and act like adults.
他们在模仿。当一个公民
They are imitating being a citizen.
在法庭上听着双方辩论
Listening to the arguments of both sides in court.
他的心智
His mind.
在模仿那些逻辑推理的过程
Imitating the process of logical reasoning.
当一个水手站在岸边
When a sailor stands on the shore.
听别人讲述海上的风暴
Listen to the story of the storm at sea.
他的灵魂在经历一次想象的风暴，模仿。
His soul was experiencing a storm of imagination.
就是人类认识世界的方式。
This is the way humans understand the world.
是我们理解事物的基本工具。
These are the basic tools we use to understand things.
现在让我把这个道理说得更清楚一些。
Now let me explain this principle more clearly.
我们为什么会在看到一幅逼真的画时感到快乐？
Why do we feel happy when we see a realistic painting?
哪怕画的内容是一条毒蛇或一具尸体。
Even if the content is a poisonous snake or a corpse.
答案很简单。
The answer is simple.
因为我们在模仿的过程中发现了意义。
Because in the process of imitation, we discovered meaning.
你看，那个画家用线条和色彩抓住了事物的形式。
I see that the painter has captured the form of the object with lines and colors.
而你的眼睛和心智能够认出这种对应关系。
And your eyes and mind can recognize this correlation.
这种认出的过程本身就是一种愉悦。
The process of recognition itself is a pleasure.
你可能会说，这听起来太理性了。
You might say that this sounds too rational.
艺术不应该首先是情感的吗？
Should art not be primarily about emotion?
请耐心一点。
Please be patient.
我还没有说到情感的部分。
I haven't gotten to the emotional part yet.
实际上，这种认知的愉悦只是开始，真正的奥秘在后面。
In fact, this feeling of pleasure is just the beginning. The real mystery lies ahead.
让我带你们走进剧场。
Let me take you to the theater.
看看那里究竟发生了什么。
What happened there?
当一个悲剧开始时。
When a tragedy begins.
舞台上的一切都是假的。
Everything on stage is fake.
面具是假的。
The mask is fake.
歌队的悲叹是假的，那倒在血泊中的国王也是假的。
The lament of the choir is false, and the king lying in the blood is also false.
可是坐在观众席上的你，心跳却在加快。
But the heart rate of the person sitting in the audience is also accelerating.
手心在出汗。
First sweat.
当关键时刻来临时。
When you need it most,
你甚至会屏住呼吸。这种反应假吗？
Would you even hold your breath in this situation?
一点也不假。
Absolutely true.
恰恰相反。
On the contrary,
你身体里的某种东西正在经历一次真正的风暴。
Something in your body is going through a real storm.
那是什么东西呢？
What is that?
这就是我要解释的核心。
This is the core I want to explain.
我花了很长时间观察那些看完悲剧的雅典公民。
I spent a long time observing the Athenian citizens who had witnessed the tragedy.
我发现一个奇怪的现象。
I found a strange phenomenon.
那些在剧场里哭得最厉害的人。
Those who cried the most in the theater.
走出剧场后。
After leaving the theater,
往往显得异常平静。
Often appears to be very calm.
好像他们的心里有什么东西被清空了。
It seems like something in their minds has been cleared out.
我走在回家的路上。
I was walking home.
常常思考，那些眼泪流走的是什么。
Often think about what the tears are for.
那些恐惧的颤抖驱散的是什么。
What dispels the fear and trembling?
后来我想明白了。
Later I realized that
悲剧做了一件非常特殊的事情。
Tragedy did something very special.
他用真实的假象去触碰我们内心真实的情感。
He uses realistic illusions to touch our true emotions.
让我从更深的层次来解释这件事。
Let me explain this from a deeper level.
人的灵魂里有两种情感。
There are two emotions in a person's soul.
是我们常常想要压制的。一种是怜悯。
One of the things we often want to suppress is compassion.
一种是恐惧。
One is fear.
你可能觉得奇怪。
You might find it strange.
怜悯和恐惧为什么要压制？
Why should compassion and fear be suppressed?
让我问你，当一个朋友
Let me ask you as a friend.
遭遇不幸时
When encountering misfortune,
你的怜悯会不会太过强烈？
Will your compassion be too strong?
以至于自己也陷入悲伤
To the point where even he was saddened.
无法自拔
Unable to stop.
当你走在夜晚的街道上
When you walk on the street at night,
莫名的恐惧会不会让你的双腿发软
Will an inexplicable fear make your legs weak?
这些情感本身没有错
These emotions are not wrong.
但问题在于
But the problem is that
他们在我们的灵魂里没有出口
They have no outlet in our souls.
他们积累在那里变得浑浊浓稠
They accumulated there, becoming murky and thick,
让人窒息
suffocating,
就像一条河流
like a river,
如果没有河道
without a river,
水
water,
也就会淤积成沼泽悲剧
it will accumulate into a swamp and the tragedy will unfold,
就是为这些情感开挖的河道
This is to dig out the channels for these emotions.
你看悲剧是怎么做的
How to write a tragedy.
他先把你带入一个与你无关的故事里
He first takes you into a story that has nothing to do with you.
俄狄浦斯不是你的父亲
Oedipus is not your father.
美狄亚不是你的邻居
Medeir is not your neighbor.
正因为与你无关
Because you are not involved,
你的怜悯不会被现实的顾虑挡住。
Your compassion will not be hindered by the constraints of reality.
你可以纯粹地去感受那个角色的痛苦。
You can purely experience the pain of that character.
同时，悲剧又把恐惧放在了一个安全距离之外。
At the same time, tragedy puts fear at a safe distance.
你看到俄狄浦斯发现自己娶了母亲时的那种惊骇
A horror you see when Oedipus discovers that he has married his mother
你的灵魂在颤抖
Your soul is trembling
但你知道这不是真的发生在你身上
But did you know that this didn't actually happen to you?
所以你的恐惧是干净的
So your fear is pure
没有被自我保护的本能扭曲在这个安全又真实的情境里
The instinct of self-preservation is not distorted in this safe and realistic situation.
你的怜悯和恐惧被调动起来了。
Your compassion and fear have been aroused.
他们随着剧情起伏
They follow the plot twists and turns.
在关键的时刻达到顶点
Reach the peak at the critical moment.
当俄狄浦斯刺瞎自己的双眼时
When Oedipus blinded himself,
你的怜悯几乎要溢出胸膛
Your compassion almost overflows your chest.
当美狄亚决定杀死自己的孩子时
When Medea decided to kill his own child,
你的恐惧让你的血液都凝固了
Your fear has frozen your blood.
然后奇迹发生了
And a miracle happened.
当悲剧结束
When the tragedy ends,
歌队唱完最后一支歌
The choir finished singing the last song.
你站起来走出剧场
You stand up and leave the theater.
你发现心里那种沉闷的压迫感
You feel a sense of heaviness and oppression in your heart.
消失了
Disappear.
那些淤积的怜悯和恐惧已经在剧场的两个时辰里被释放了
The accumulated pity and fear had been released in the 2 hours of the play.
他们不是简单的流失了。
They didn't just leave.
而是被梳理。
Instead, it is organized.
被纯净。
Pure.
被转化为一种清澈的平静。
Transformed into a clear and calm state.
这个释放和净化的过程。
This process of release and evolution,
我称之为卡塔西斯，这个词很难翻译。
I call it catharsis, but it's hard to translate.
有人说它是净化。
Some say it is purification.
有人说它是宣泄。
Some say he is a vent.
有人说它是升华。
Some say he is a scoundrel.
这些说法都对。
These statements are all correct.
但都不够。
But they are not enough.
卡塔西斯不是简单的排毒。
Catharsis is not just detoxification.
它是一种教养。
It is a teaching.
就像音乐训练了我们的节奏感。
Just like music trains our sense of rhythm.
绘画。
Painting.
训练了我们的观察力。
They trained our observation skills.
悲剧训练了我们灵魂中情感的能力。
Tragedy has trained our ability to feel emotions in our souls.
它让我们学会如何恰当的怜悯。
He taught us how to show compassion appropriately.
如何有分寸的恐惧。
How to have a sense of proportion in fear.
一个看过足够多悲剧的人，在现实中遇到痛苦时。
A person who has witnessed enough tragedies in real life will.
他的情感反应会更准确。
His emotional reactions will be more accurate.
他不会过度悲伤。
He won't be overly sad.
也不会冷漠无情。
Not cold-blooded.
现在你们应该明白了。
I hope you understand.
悲剧绝不只是让人哭一场那么简单。
Tragedy is not just about making people cry.
他是在做一件灵魂的教育工作。
He was engaged in a spiritual education.
我之所以这么重视悲剧。
That's why I value tragedy so much.
把它放在所有艺术形式的最高位置。
Place it at the highest position in all forms of art.
就是因为它的这种教育功能是其他东西无法替代的。
This is because its educational function cannot be replaced by anything else.
你看历史书告诉你发生过什么，哲学书。
According to the history books, what kind of philosophy has happened?
告诉你应该相信什么。
Tell you what to believe.
但悲剧直接作用于你的情感本身。
But tragedy directly affects your emotions.
他不是在告诉你道理。
He's not telling you the truth.
而是在训练你感受的能力。
And to train your ability to feel.
这种训练太重要了。
This kind of training is very important.
因为一个人如果情感是混乱的。
Because if a person's emotions are chaotic.
他的理智再强大也没有用。
His reason was no match for his emotions.
让我再深入一层，谈谈悲剧的构造。
Let's delve deeper into the structure of tragedy.
我为什么特别强调情节的重要性？
Why do I emphasize the importance of plot so much?
很多人认为
Many people believe that
悲剧最重要的是人物性格或者思想深度。不对。
The most important thing in a tragedy is the lack of depth in the characters' personalities or thoughts.
悲剧的灵魂是情节。
The soul of tragedy is the plot.
让我用一个比喻来解释。
Let me explain with an analogy.
这可能是今天唯一一个比喻了。
This might be the only metaphor today.
如果把悲剧比作一幅画。
If tragedy is likened to a painting.
性格是颜色。
Personality is color.
思想是线条。
Thought is a line.
但情节是这些颜色和线条组成的形状。
But the plot is the shape formed by these colors and lines.
一幅画的好坏。
The quality of a painting.
首先取决于画的是什么形状。
First, it depends on what shape you are drawing.
而不是用什么颜色。
What color should I use instead?
同样，一个悲剧能否打动人心。
Can the same tragedy touch people's hearts?
首先
First,
取决于他的故事结构是否有力量。
Does his story structure have enough power?
一个好的悲剧情节应该是什么样子的？
What should a good tragic plot be like?
我总结了几条原则。
I have summarized a few principles.
首先是完整性，故事要
First, there is the complete story.
要有开头
Have an opening.
中间和结尾
Middle and end.
这听起来很简单
This sounds simple.
带你去看那些蹩脚的剧本
Take you to see those shoddy scripts.
就会发现他们常常不知道从哪里开始讲。
You will find that they often don't know where to start.
也不知道在哪里结束。
I don't know where to end.
开头是自然而然的起点。
The beginning is a natural starting point.
不需要前面的解释。
No need for further explanation.
结尾是必然的终点。
The end is inevitable.
不需要后面的补充。
No further explanation is needed.
中间的部分要一环扣一环。
The middle part should be a continuous loop.
不能随便删掉一个环节。
You can't just delete a step.
其次是统一性。一个悲剧。
Secondly, there is the issue of consistency, which is a tragedy.
只能讲一个主要的故事。
Tell only one main story.
不是不能有次要情节。
It's not that there can't be secondary plots.
但所有次要情节都要服务于主要故事。
But all minor plots must serve the main story.
就像一张脸上的五官，鼻子。
Like the five senses of a face, nose.
眼睛各自不同。
Each eye is different.
但它们共同构成一张脸。
But they form a single face together.
如果一张脸上有两个鼻子，
If there are two noses on one face,
那就是怪物了。
That's a monster.
很多诗人不明白这个道理。
Many poets don't understand this principle.
他们把各种故事堆在一起。
They piled up all sorts of stories together.
以为内容丰富，
Rich in content.
就是好事。
That's great.
实际上这样的作品就像一个大拼盘。
In reality, such a work is like a big buffet.
不是一体的生命。
Not a single life.
最重要的是转变。
The most important thing is to change.
好的悲剧。
Good tragedy.
情节里有一个关键的转变。
There is a key turning point in the plot.
我称之为发现和突转。
I call it discovery and transformation.
突转就是事情朝相反的方向发展。
Sudden turn refers to the situation where things develop in the opposite direction.
你以为英雄要登上王位了。
You think the hero is going to take the throne.
他突然跌入深渊。
He suddenly fell into a deep pit.
你以为是好人来救助了。
You thought it was a good person who came to help.
结果是仇人来寻仇。突转。
The result is that the enemy came to seek revenge, but turned around.
让观众的心悬起来。
To keep the audience on the edge of their seats.
发现则是从不知到知的过程。
Discovery is the process of going from not knowing to knowing.
俄狄浦斯一直在寻找杀害前国王的凶手。
Oedipus is looking for the murderer of the former king.
最后发现那个凶手就是他自己。这个发现让
Finally, I found out that the culprit was himself.
让之前所有的情节都有了新的意义。
Give all previous plots new meaning.
当突转和发现同时发生时，
When both a sudden turn and a discovery occur simultaneously,
悲剧的力量最强。
The power of tragedy is the strongest.
俄狄浦斯的故事就是最好的例子。
The story of Oedipus is a perfect example.
那个来报信的人，
The person who came to report,
本想安慰俄狄浦斯。
I wanted to comfort Oedipus.
告诉他
Tell him,
科忍托斯的国王死了。
The king of Krentos died.
你可以回去了。
You can go back.
结果这个好消息反而引出了那个最可怕的真相。
As a result, this good news actually revealed the most terrible truth.
我常常在雅典的市场上碰到那些诗人。
I often met those poets in the market of Athens.
他们问我怎么才能写出好的悲剧。
They asked me how to write a good tragedy.
我告诉他们。
I told them.
你先要有一双能看见因果关系的眼睛。悲剧的本质不是展示痛苦。
You must first have eyes that can see the essence of tragedy, which is not to show suffering.
而是展示痛苦是如何必然的到来的。
Instead, it shows how pain inevitably comes.
你看命运之所以可怕。
I think the reason why fate is so terrible is
不是因为它随机的打击人。
Not because he randomly hit people.
而是因为它从人自己的选择里生长出来。
Instead, it grows from the choices people make.
俄狄浦斯不是无缘无故遭受苦难的。
Oedipus is not suffering from misfortune without reason.
他的每一步都出自他自己的决定。
His every step was determined by his own decision.
他聪明，勇敢。
He is smart and brave.
坚持正义。
Uphold justice.
这些品质恰恰把他引向了毁灭。
These qualities led him to destruction.
这才是真正的悲剧。
This is the real tragedy.
如果一个人在街上被石头砸死了。
If someone is killed on the street by being hit with a stone.
那是意外。
That's an accident.
不是悲剧。
Not a tragedy.
如果一个人因为自己的缺陷一步步走向深渊，
If a person walks step by step towards the abyss because of their own flaws,
而且每一步他都以为自己走，
And at every step he thought he was making progress.
对了，
Right?
这才是悲剧。
This is the real tragedy.
说到这里，
At this point,
我必须回答一个你们一直在想的问题。
I have to answer a question that you have been wondering about.
我作为一个哲学家，
As a philosopher,
为什么要把这么多精力放在研究诗歌上？
Why put so much effort into studying poetry?
柏拉图，
Plato,
我的老师，
My teacher,
他把诗人赶出了理想国。
He drove the poet out of the ideal country.
他认为诗歌会搅乱人的理性。
He believes that poetry can disrupt people's rationality.
让人变得情绪化。
Make people emotional.
我理解他的担忧。
I understand his concerns.
但我不同意他的结论。
But I disagree with his conclusion.
柏拉图看到了艺术的力量。
Plato saw the power of art.
但他只看到了力量的一面。
But he only saw one side of strength.
没有看到力量的另一面。
I didn't see the other side of strength.
火可以烧毁房子。
Fire can burn down houses.
也可以冶炼钢铁。
Also, it can be used to smelt iron.
关键是你能不能控制它。
The key is whether you can control it.
我的看法是。
My opinion is that
理性本身不足以教育人。
Reason alone is not enough to educate a person.
你可以在课堂上教一个年轻人。
You can teach a young person in class.
什么是勇敢？反复。
What is courage and persistence?
告诉他勇敢的定义和表现。
Tell him the definition and manifestations of courage.
可当他真正面对危险时，
When he truly faces danger,
他身体里那种站立的感觉会把所有的定义冲走。
The feeling of standing upright in his body would wash away all definitions.
他需要一种更直接的学习。
He needs a more direct learning.
一种能钻进他骨头里的学习。悲剧。
A learning tragedy that can penetrate his bones.
就是这种学习。
This kind of learning.
他让年轻人在安全的距离上，真实的经历。
He allows young people to experience real experiences at a safe distance.
恐惧和勇敢的较量。
The battle between fear and courage.
他不需要真的面对暴君。
He doesn't need to actually confront the tyrant.
就可以在自己的灵魂里演练一遍。
You can practice it over and over again in your own soul.
当那一天真的到来时，他的情感已经被训练过了。
His emotions have been trained.
他不会慌乱的。
He won't panic.
像没头的苍蝇。
Like a headless fly.
也不会僵硬的。
Not stiff.
像一块石头。
Like a stone.
这就是我对城邦的建议。
Here is my advice for the city.
悲剧不应该是节日的消遣。
Tragedy should not be a festive entertainment.
它应该是公民教育的一部分。
It should be a part of civic education.
一个看过俄狄浦斯王的人会更理解命运和自由之间的关系。
A person who has read Oedipus Rex will have a better understanding of the relationship between fate and free will.
一个看过安提戈涅的人会更清楚。
A person who has read Antigone will be more aware of
城邦法律和内心良知之间的冲突。
Conflict between city laws and inner conscience
这些东西不能等到他犯错了。
These things can't wait for him to make a mistake
再用刑法去教他，太晚了。
It's too late to teach him with the criminal law
要在他的灵魂还柔软的时候。
When his soul is still soft,
用悲剧这把模子去塑造它。
Use tragedy as a mold to shape it.
让我回到最初的那个反差。
Let me return to the original contrast.
你们以为我这个逻辑学家只会摆弄三段论？
Do you think I, a logician, only deal with syllogisms?
只会推演质料和形式。
Only focus on the quality and form.
只会给万物分类。
Only categorize things.
这些我都做。
I've done all of these.
但我做的远不止这些。
But I did more than that.
我研究动植物。
I study plants and animals.
因为生命是神奇的。
Because life is wonderful.
我研究天象。
I study celestial phenomena.
因为宇宙是庄严的。
Because the universe is majestic.
我研究城邦。
I study city-states.
因为人是政治的动物。
Because humans are political targets.
我研究悲剧。
I study tragedy.
因为人的情感需要被理解和管理。
Because human emotions need to be understood and managed.
我的全部工作都有一个共同的目标。
All my work has a common goal.
就是弄清楚人应该怎么活着。
Just figure out how people should live.
悲剧告诉我。
Tragedy tells me.
人活着。
People live.
不只是要追求快乐。
It's not just about pursuing happiness.
还要追求那种深刻的、经过锤炼的情感状态。
Still pursue that profound and refined emotional state.
一个从没哭过的人是不完整的。
A person who has never cried is incomplete.
一个被情绪吞没的人也是不完整的。
A person who is overwhelmed by emotions is also incomplete.
悲剧帮我们在两者之间找到了那条窄路。
Tragic help helped us find the narrow path between the two.
今天我跟你们讲了很多，模仿是人的本能。
Today, I told you a lot about how imitation is a human instinct.
是我们认识世界的方式。
This is how we understand the world.
悲剧是模仿的高级形式。
Tragedy is a sophisticated form of imitation.
他通过完整的情节
It uses a complete plot
把人的命运呈现出来
to reveal the fate of a person.
这种呈现不是为了让你伤心
This presentation is not for you to be sad.
而是为了让你灵魂里的怜悯和恐惧
Instead, to evoke your inner compassion and fear.
得到一次彻底的清洗和梳理
To get a thorough cleaning and organization.
这个过程我称之为卡塔西斯。
I call this process catharsis.
它既是治疗。
It is both a treatment.
也是教养。
Also education.
更是升华。
This further enhances it.
如果你们从我今天的谈话里只记住一件事。
If you only remember one thing from my conversation today,
我希望是这件事。
I hope it's this thing.
艺术的力量不在于它能让你的情绪有多激动。
The power of art lies not in how much it can stir your emotions.
而在于它能训练你的情绪。
The key is to train your emotions.
让它变得准确。
Make it accurate.
恰当。
Appropriate.
有分寸。一个被悲剧净化过的人。
Another is a person who has been purified by tragedy.
在面对真实的痛苦时。
When facing real pain.
既不会麻木不仁。
Neither indifferent nor apathetic.
也不会崩溃绝望。
Won't collapse into despair.
他会哀悼。
He will mourn.
但不会沉溺。
But not indulging.
他会恐惧。
He will be afraid.
但不会瘫痪。
But not paralyzed.
他会愤怒。
He will be angry.
但不会疯狂。
But not crazy.
这就是悲剧的审美效应。
This is the aesthetic effect of tragedy.
也是他对我这个哲学家来说。
Also, for me as a philosopher.
如此重要的原因。
This is a very important reason.
走出我的讲堂之后。
After I left my classroom.
你们再去剧场看悲剧时。
When you go to the theater to watch a tragedy.
我希望你们不只是带着手帕去的。
I hope you don't just bring a handkerchief.
我希望你们带着思考。
I hope you all think about it.
去问自己一个问题。
Ask yourself a question.
这个情节完整吗？
Is this plot complete?
这个转变必然吗？
Is this change inevitable?
我的怜悯和恐惧被带到了什么地方？
Where did my compassion and fear take me?
当你开始这样问的时候，
When you start asking like this,
你就不再只是一个观众了。
You are no longer just an audience.
你已经在用我教你的方式成为一个真正懂得欣赏悲剧的人。
You are already becoming a truly appreciative person of tragedy using the methods I have taught you.
而懂得欣赏悲剧的人。
And those who understand and appreciate tragedy.
往往也更懂得如何活着。
Often they also know how to live.
因为在人生的舞台上，
Because in the stage of life,
我们每个人既是观众，
We are all both audience and performer,
也是演员。命运给我们的剧本可能很残酷。
The script of life given to us by our fate may be cruel,
但我们至少可以在心里排练。
But we can at least practice in our minds,
如何面对它。
How to deal with it?
这就是悲剧教给我们的最高智慧。
This is the highest wisdom that tragedy teaches us.